It's August 20th, 2016. It is Saturday, about 7 p.m., and I'm in my last hour, my last 3 miles of this hike. And it's mostly straight or down, so I ought to be able to give some attention to this this little recording device. Why Trump? Oh my God. Where do you even begin? Year 2016, you've got a guy named Donald Trump who's running for president. And here is why I registered Republican to vote for him in the primaries. This is why I've given him $300, which is not a small amount of money for me. And why I persist in the face of this wall of media and familial rejection, or what's a word for it? All right, I didn't know what to say. First of all, my principal concern is that from Bush, George W. Bush, and before him, really, but, from the Oklahoma City bombing, that was a false flag event pinned on this Timothy McVeigh guy who was, oh my God, I can't even speak. It just, there's so many deep rabbit holes here. And honestly, to get to where I am, you need to watch a whole lot of documentaries on these subjects, like The Noble Lie about the Oklahoma City bombing. There's at least a dozen documentaries. Some of them are posted at my website regarding 9/11. And then you look at the deceit, the fraud, that is the underpinning of the forced vaccinations of our children. Many of these, numerous. We're talking about, almost like 100 vaccines you need to get, or vaccine series, by the time you're 18 now. When I was a kid, it might have been, 6 or 7, and most of them were voluntary. Now, you can have your kids taken away from you. You can't go to public school. All sorts of things if you don't get all these vaccines. And there's documentaries about vaccines. There's websites about it. The latest documentary that I haven't seen, but I've heard is quite convincing, is Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. And what you find in Vaxxed is that there is literally thousands of documents that prove a correlation between autism and vaccines. And this is all being buried. This is all being, Congress refuses to adopt take these documents and put them in the public record, or even listen to what this Center for Disease Control scientist has to say. He's a whistleblower. You get into the monetary system, which is a fraud. Since 1913, against really what the our constitutional money is silver and gold. And what that meant was you couldn't just print money at will, just based on faith, as we are doing now, which what that causes is a political class that can promise a bunch of serfs, a bunch of people who don't have to have a job but can be put on the dole and then directed to vote for more free stuff. That you get that. You get corporations who have access to the free money, insider corporations, corporations with close political ties to the government, the ruling elites, and then they get to, with their, you know, crony financial elite friends, get to buy up the world with money that doesn't cost anything to produce. It's a reproduction, it's a facsimile of wealth, of labor, and it's a fraud. And we are obligated to pay interest to these private banking families who own the Federal Reserve. And, you know, we could be printing money as credits, interest-free, to stimulate the economy or whatever our government wants to do. But no, we have ceded the authority over to this private cabal of people who now largely control the intelligence agencies and the militaries of the world. You know, it's just the world is their chessboard. As this, I can't even say his name, but Zbigniew Brzezinski, he was a political advisor to, I think, to U.S. Washington elites for the last few decades. He's written books, like one is called the Global Chessboard or something. And you look at the Global Spraying Program or the insidiousness of the rollout of genetically modified foods with almost no citizen oversight or control, and all the and which is totally destructive, or the rollout of cellular technology, you know, wireless technology that allows the tracking and tracing of everybody, the control of our vehicles, the control of our minds, possibly. I mean, who knows where they're going? I know where they want to go, but they're not there yet. But, you know, they can induce states of kind of fear or anxiety, happiness or lethargy, all with these microwaves. They're not able to, you know, remote control you to a specific act, but they can certainly, with these different frequencies and combinations thereof, in combination with the heavy metals raining down on us and the genetically modified foods that are altering our DNA, you know, they could do some dastardly stuff to us, and they are. But what was that all to say? What was that all to say? It's to say that humans right now, or Americans, citizens of the United States of America in particular, have lost control of their governance. And it's now in the hands of corporatists, fascists, crony capitalists, communists, you know, this whole thing, you know, the centralization, you know, some people call it the centralization team, where they just want all power to be ceded to a central governing body. And it's not democratic or even a limited Republican, whatever it is that we've got here, or a constitutional republic, where there's, you know, some aspects of the democracy and it's limited by some other things. And it seemed to have worked well. But, for a while. But if you see all this chaos, this mayhem, this, you know, war, perpetual war for perpetual peace, you know, kind of Orwellianisms, and this constant erosion of our health, our civil rights, our financial well-being, all of these things, and our access to accurate information. What it shows is that we're done. The current system as it stands is irreparably broken. That's my take on it. You know, it's no small, all of those things are, you know, there's a deep state that's pulling the strings on all this. And people that we elect have not too much to say about it. And, you know, they're just like the liner of a bird cage, you know, just elect a new bird and then they change the paper. No, it's the paper we elect. It's the bird is, represents, I guess, these think tanks, the Rand Corporation, the Ford Foundation, the, I don't know, the Council of 300 or, you know, Bilderberg and Bohemian Grove and all these things where, you know, these unelected bodies dictating policy to the various nation states, which themselves are under assault, you know. And so I just want to hit the reset button. And so, yeah, and it's not, that doesn't mean that I'm sort of in a state of moral relativism. You know, that is, anything that destroys the system is fine. No, I'm not for anarchy. And so there's this guy, Donald Trump, who's running for office right now. We'll see if he's still alive in a few months. I hope that he is. And he's brash. He's arrogant. He's not, there's a phrase right now called politically correct, which means don't say anything that might offend anybody. You know, the color of your skin, your sexual orientation, your height, your size, your girth, whatever it is that makes you unique, you can't be commented upon in a negative fashion. I mean, that's what we're being told. And what it is basically a silencing of the freedom of speech. And it's a sort of stealth form of political control that's quite insidious. And I reject it wholeheartedly, you know. Even stand-up comics now are saying they can't even have a comedy routine because every subject you want to touch on to make fun of is off-limits, is taboo. So we're left with nothing. We can't say anything except criticize, I guess, fathers, patriarchy, Caucasians, the West, Christianity, which actually, you know, when you listen to intelligent people discuss this, for example, the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins, what's his name again? It'll come to me, but he did some interviews with Alex Jones that were pretty darn good. And that's just one window into this. Also, Paul Craig Roberts says, some pretty insightful commentary along these lines, I think. But and Paul Joseph Watson, a colleague, a co-worker, someone who works at InfoWars with Alex Jones. But what's up here? All right, I just paused there to guzzle some more water and change a shirt. I think I brought 5 shirts, maybe 4 in my bag, one I was wearing. I hung them up a couple of spots to dry, so on my way back I could put them back on again, but this last one is clean. It hasn't been used yet. It's just nice to have it on. This high dry air, got it to nearly 90 here today. It may have been 90. It's 83 at or 84 at noon, and it was only going to rise till from there until 4 p.m. or so. So I don't know where it got, but Glad I brought 264 ounces of distilled water up here. So what was I saying? Let me just make a comment that a few of the 9/11 documentaries that I recommend seeing, I mean, there's literally dozens. One of them is a definitive one. I can't remember the name of it now. But it's like 3 CDs, 4 hours long, or maybe more. I don't know. It's just incredible. It goes through every inconsistency in the official story and just destroys it with evidence, you know, with facts that just don't line up. I mean, you know, the media conglomerates and the entities that control them are so arrogant. You know, it's that Goebbels, the propaganda minister, I believe, under Adolf Hitler, you know, said that, you know, the bigger the lie, basically, the easier the sell. That is, if it's a big lie, then the people are going to have a harder time finding the strength to confront it. You know, it just challenges their assumptions too much. And then the line that if you repeat a lie often enough, people will come to accept it as self-evident. Even if, and it's amazing the degree to which many people are able to live with a lie and a fallacy. You know, they can hold two separate beliefs that are incompatible at the same time and go about their business and not be, you know, preoccupied by it. Of course, that leads you down the path of false consciousness, a false being, who you are, and, you know, and the foundation from which you create this world needs to be as founded upon truth as possible. And to the extent that it's founded upon a lie or lies, plural, then that is going to have a ripple effect where just that lie propagates and it becomes more complex, and actually the veneer of the civilization, the conceit of the civilization that you're creating becomes more fragile, more prone to breakdown, because it can't be discussed, it can't be considered rationally, because so many lies are, you know, and so many lies are needed to be accepted for it to maintain its legitimacy or a perceived legitimacy. But some of the documentaries for the 9/11 Fabled Enemies by Jason Burmes, that one just discusses how an Israeli company has the patent and the backdoor ownership to all FBI and telecom wiretaps. I mean, they are like on a superstructure node where they can listen in or and record anything that's going on without the FBI or the CIA or maybe even the NSA knowing. I mean, it's like the originating source code, and it's an Israeli company that has the keys to our digital system. And it was only someone in that capacity, apparently on the 9/11, the codes, these special codes that only people on the deepest inside knows for, I guess, Air Force One and the Pentagon, and they have these different security protocols. They were all breached. It was a gaping hole in our security. And, you know, some people said it was meant to send a signal to George W. Bush, because he wasn't really a player in this. He was just a pawn. Not to say he's not evil, he is. But, you know, he certainly doesn't have the devilish wherewithal to pull this off. But it points to, you know, the lie that, you know, some guys with box cutters or some guy on kidney dialysis in a cave in Afghanistan, you know, all these, you know, this with rudimentary technology, they were able to you know, break through all of our most hardened security protocols. And that's just a ridiculous statement. There were other players, enablers, etc. It's a much, much more complicated picture. So Fabled Enemies is great. It has, you know, a whole bunch of stuff in there. I mean, that's just one of like probably 20 very salient points that it brings up. I think another one's Zero, an investigation into 9/11. Off the top of my head, one of the more compelling sections or pieces in Zero was this whole thing on all the people that failed their duties. You know, all these people that were in the Air Force Command, the Joint Chiefs, this thing, and that thing. Like a dozen people that were very highly placed and were in a position to stop the hijackers, to intercept the planes in midair, you know, before they hit their targets, all sorts of things. And they were, and it shows that all of them were, you know, they took the day off, they had, you know, computer malfunction, I mean, whatever, they had these stories, right? And they were all promoted. No one that was in a position to stop 9/11 was disciplined. Why? Ask yourself why. Why did no one get censured? You know, because what you see right now is the only people that get in trouble are people who release state secrets that are revealing our unconstitutional illegal activities. But if you are complicit in a international crime like 9/11, where 3,000 people were murdered, and you had the approval of the higher-ups for that, oh, wow, you get a brownie button. You get a Boy Scout badge. You get promoted to four-star general or whatever the hell is your next bump in pay grade. But it has a whole bunch more stuff. This is very damning. And elephant in the room. I just throwing that out there. I'm not. It is a good one. It's worth seeing. And you watch those, or Terror Storm, by Alex Jones. You know, throw that in there as a 9/11 documentary, which just so shows the history of state-sponsored terror. You know, and that's been. And there's a documentary, a series of them by, what's his name, Adam something. It's by the BBC, and it's called Nightmares. Adam Curtis is the guy's name, and it's about, he's done a series of them that were all excellent, on propaganda, history of the self, the notion of the self. And as it's known commercially and politically, and then the neoconservative program of selling empire through fear. And what does terror do? Terror, you know, we never win. It's always a threat. Hide under your desk. Put on your gas mask. Pray that the government can protect you. Meanwhile, it's the government who benefits from the state of fear. You have to get into this. And there's a whole lot behind this. It's the way the world works in many ways, unfortunately. Very, very sadly. And it goes on and on and on, all these different things that it's not just, you know, a little bit of fraud here, you know, apparently 95% of the public did not approve of the $27 trillion of banker bailouts. That's a number has been verified, I believe, in 2008 here in the US. That was enough money to pay every single family mortgage in the country three times over. And the banks are, you know, still not made solvent. It was, you know, that whole crisis if the problem was some shaky borrowers and subprime loans, like I said, you know, those loans could have been paid off with probably 22, 23 trillion to spare. But that's not what we did. We bailed out all these derivatives positions, and, you know, the banks take whatever assets they have and they mark them not to market, which is what they're worth in the market. They mark them to model. It's like whatever their statisticians, their accountants say the asset should be worth at some point down the future or whatever. It's all this hocus pocus. And then they can basically wrap it up and, you know, with a whole bunch of other stuff, and then multiply it by 10 and sell it as an insurance product or, you know, whatever all this shit is. And you get, and what happens is you take an asset that's worth, let's say, $1, and now you have various leverage and derivative positions on it that are like a layer 100-fold high over it. You've only got one real, you know, one point, one layer of reality, and then 99 layers of greed. People that make money by making financial deals, which is a whole nother thing. Financialization, which is the death knell for all civilizations. You know, there's books, some book that a guy wrote about it. You know, it's a different countries, empires, and then in their waning years, they get into just paper pushing and manipulating markets, and they don't create anything anymore except for financial products. And that's where we are. And just, you get epic fraud. All your great talent goes into not a non-productive economy. It becomes ultimately a parasitic one, and then it explodes, and then you have a giant war to blame, you know, all the debt on. Meanwhile, it was greed of all the people feeding into it, going into the calamity. You know, it could have been solved if you allowed bad companies to go bankrupt, but we have a government now that says we've got, what's the word for it? Structural, you know, our banks now, JP Morgan Chase, these private corporations now are said to be of, you know, their well-being is identical to the well-being of the nation itself. And that is the end of our nation. But that's where we are now. There's an equivalency. So these people can go ahead, charge up whatever they want, aren't held accountable for it. And the peasants, I'm one of them, are on the hook for all this stuff. So all that's just a backdrop to, you know, the current situation here, where you had Bill Clinton behind, I think, bombings of Kosovo and Serbia, whatever's going on over there, a whole bunch of problems with that, shouldn't have happened. The blaming of patriotic Americans for Oklahoma City when it was a federal setup from the get-go. You know, they still haven't released, watch Noble Lie, they still haven't released, you know, the 18 videotapes that would show, you know, the truck, and there were three men, including an Iraqi that was with him, you know, with McVeigh. And, oh God, just so much there. A lot of people that were not, you know, that felt that the feds were involved were all killed. A bunch of them. It goes into that. Interviews people, anyone with doubts, along, just like with the JFK assassination, a big body count of people who saw something they shouldn't have and had a conscience. And so, you know, where does it put me with Hillary Clinton? A whole lot of people have died around her that were voicing concerns about her, evidence that she engaged in corrupt dealings. Look into that. She was responsible for this whole ISIS thing. I mean, I'm getting weak just thinking about it. This is a whole other subject, you know, Islamic extremism. Can't get into it now, but I don't want to get into it now. I'm too exhausted. But she is just a continuation of this. You know, she isn't the neocon wet dream. She wants more war. She's into class warfare and gender. I mean, she's playing every division card that Obama has. And she's against having a secure border, against the Second Amendment, which allows us to defend ourselves from tyrannical governments. She's for basically a one world government. There's a lot more there, but I see her, because she was the Secretary of State under a whole bunch of bad stuff. I mean, under Obama, when a whole lot of bad stuff went down. And I view someone like Donald Trump as a counter to that. And yes, he's a billionaire. And yes, he's had some shady dealings, I have no doubt. But he has always said he, you know, wants to be a winner. And, you know, they say if he's all, you know, for America, then why does he have some of his furnishings at his hotels made in China? Well, because under the current system, which is totally putting America last, China has an edge. You know, we can have them make stuff, have the shareholders, the higher-ups in the corporate hierarchy make a lot of money on the difference between our labor costs here and labor costs there in China. You know, slave labor, prison labor, all sorts of stuff going on there. We have a lot of prison labor in the U.S. too, which isn't reported on. But he has said the system is rigged. It's not right. And I think he has stated he wants to have a new way of trade negotiations, trade dealings, where these countries can't, you know, put us basically out of business and all the products that we could manufacture using their slave labor. You know, from 1800 to 1900, this country had no income tax, but it had tariffs that protected jobs in the U.S. so that, in, you know, take a modern example, steel from China coming into the U.S. would be hit with a tariff, that is a tax, so that when it's sold in the U.S., it's sold at a price that it makes American-sourced steel competitive. And that's only right. The globalists want to have weak nation states that are all interdependent. That is, no one can do their own thing because U.S. relies upon China for steel. You know, that is, if you have a country that's strong and sovereign, then they're going to be not likely to give up their civil liberties, etc., for the great Pax Gaia that these elite families like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds want to create. And really, you know, if you want a whole monocrop, that's monocropping of the world. You know, we're, the whole world is like one McDonald's, series of McDonald's outlets, GMO carrots, and, you know, pop music and pop movies out of Hollywood. We all think the same, eat the same, watch the same, and that's a recipe for disaster. We need to celebrate our differences and allow cultures to be distinct and own their own destinies. And that's not what's happening right now. And these are people who want to finish, what was that, Roman or Greek? There's been a number of people that wanted to rule the world, and they have not given up on it, I'll tell you. And they're closer to it than ever right now. And they can't really do it well, so they just want to, you know, throw us all into a fucking blender, put some arsenic in there, kill off 90% of us, and have whatever remains just be sort of a drone workforce, not the lively, intense, organic, nativist groups of peoples that we have now, or still have to some extent now. We haven't been completely homogenized yet, which is great. It's getting dark. I'm gonna have to put my lights on soon. I've got these Petzl headlamps. I've got two of them, and then a pretty strong handheld flashlight. The headlamps have three AA batteries each. Really a strong LED light. They're just fab. I can see wildlife all around me at night with these things on. The eyes of the animals, including mountain lions and bears, deer, rabbit, ring-tailed cat. Which is a type of raccoon, big white eyes. And I could see a mountain lion at any time now, so I'm going to be watching out. I don't like these wide sections where there's shrubs and downed trees. You don't know what's out there. The steeper sections are easier to secure, because you don't have to worry about your right and left that much. I believe that he's a lot more honest when he talks. All of his, everything he says is not tested through focus groups. You know, pretty much, Hillary Clinton is just a machine. You know, she's a calculating product. I mean, it's whatever they say, it's been tested on people. You know, whereas Donald Trump speaks what's on his mind. And I like that honesty, that impromptu, uncensored, unfiltered. You know, I think it works. I want to see more of it. There's an integrity and an honesty there that just dusts off this fakeness that's grown over the whole political process in the last few decades. You know, increasingly since JFK was assassinated. His positions on trade, where he's a nationalist, not a globalist. And that is critical. The spraying program, the heavy metal spraying program, the global the vaccination program, all these other things, they are global in nature. I've heard reports of various legal, political, pharmaceutical, all these different initiatives, they're rolled out globally now. different versions of the same thing in basically all the countries of the world. There is a global push, and I want to push back against that. I don't want to have everyone in one big pot where we have to have a porous border, taking all sorts of undocumented people that don't, some of whom have very little to contribute or have very ill intentions here. You know, we need to be very careful about who we allow into the United States and, you know, vet these people properly. It's not being done right now. He's mentioned about, he's got concerns about vaccines. That's, I would vote for him just for that. He said he wanted to be friends. He wanted to resolve the problem with Vladimir Putin. And we should. Vladimir Putin has done nothing wrong to us. And there's just a wall of like 100 media outlets all spewing the same filth. Put my headlamp on. This anti-Putin filth. You know, so Putin is for, you know, he's pro-Christian, pro-nationalist, pro-heterosexual. He doesn't like extreme, you know, doesn't like Islamic extremists. People that want to blow up buildings and behead people. That's not his cup of tea. It appears to be Obama's and Hillary's. And then also, I've argued this a lot, that all the right people have lined up against Donald J. Trump. The Republican leadership, the Democratic leadership, all these globalist organizations, these organizations that are for the consolidation of power at the global level and the weakening and ultimate dissolution of nation states. You know, there might, you know, maybe people, you know, some places might have their nation nominally, but they're going to be controlled by a collective global currency of some sort. Or you might have a bill that looks like a dollar or a peso or whatever it is that you are used to, but it's pegged, it's tied to an international standard. So it's really not at all. Not at all representative of a sovereign nation. Because the banking families, and this one Rothschild back in the 1800s said, he doesn't care who your president is, who your king is, who comprises your parliament. If you give him the power to control the issuance of credit through inflation and deflation, like we have right now, he will control the government, ultimately. Because it's like a 6% tax on us each year. It's a parasitic extraction of prosperity from us. You know, that's the rate. The private shareholders of the Federal Reserve are guaranteed 6% on the debts owed to the Federal Reserve. Some number like that. For doing nothing but issuing credit, which is basically providing a service that we could do ourselves. And you watch the documentaries, two of them, From Freedom to Fascism, by, get the guy's name, Aaron Russo, and another documentary, The Money Masters. Forget the guy's name, but it's a two DVD set. Extraordinary documentaries on the history of money and where the money changers want to take this world. It is quite scary and quite informative. And it leads you to the conclusion that our true common enemy is the banking class. The people that produce wealth by doing nothing. They extract it from us as a convenience to us. And you try to pull away from their control, and they can cause stock market crises or bank runs, and then have people crawling back to them again. Very manipulative, cold-blooded, and has no place in a representative democracy or a constitutional republic. It is anathema to any system that seeks legitimacy, moral legitimacy. Apparently, and I've seen this myself, but apparently the Clinton campaign and like the Obama administration, they're issuing talking points on a daily basis to media outlets across the country. You turn on the TV and you just see, or you go to compilations on YouTube from all over the country, the same words, the same attacks on Donald Trump, and the same ignoring of the deficiencies of Hillary Clinton. And it couldn't be more obvious and more slanted if you start looking at it. And you need to be reading, you need to be getting your news. When I talk to people, they're watching select, all these outlets and the ones that they need. I just come from a different universe informationally, a truthful one, where I'm at Infowars.com. I'm at ZeroHedge.com, especially their comment section. And geoengineeringwatch.org, for starters, those three. You start and put, geoengineeringwatch.org, their radio show on Saturdays by Dane Wigington. Listen to, a dozen hours of his presentations, especially some ones from the last few months where he reviewed 9/11 and other false flags, and just kind of get prepping you to understand that there is a powerful cabal calling the shots, slanting the news. And when you see the left and the right closing ranks against Donald Trump because he is against globalism, against vaccines, against World War III, the neocons, the neoconservatives want a global enemy. They want to create false accusations in order to justify or rally the people for war against other countries because it furthers their interest. And Trump doesn't want that. Not at all. He wants to make peace with Putin, make some business deals. And that's really all Putin wants anyway. He just wants to be left alone and be allowed to thrive. And he is. Also, I believe in a multipolar world. I don't want one world dominated by Washington, D.C. That's just not right. I don't think that we're hold the moral legitimacy to claim an empire over the world, dominion over the world. That's just, we don't deserve it. Oh, yeah. And also, you take a couple of liberal or progressive. Progressive is a word, I believe, that means, or in action, it means the growth of the state to cover all your needs. The progressive dream is to have the state basically raise your children, pay for your, you know, provide your health care, provide your education, provide for all the guidelines of every detail in your life. I mean, it's the opposite of libertarianism. And I'm not even a libertarian in the way that it's, you know, being presented right now by the libertarian candidate for president. I don't support him. I want limited government. And I want to just pull out of these world wars and have someone that's been on the inside of some things, who's been a success, hopefully take a few steps in a safer and better direction. But what I was saying about the progressives is Amy Goodman, who is a radio commentator, radio host. I used to listen to her quite a bit in the early 2000s on my dial-up modem, download her shows, but I don't anymore because I see the bias in a lot of them, and her coverage of, you know, completely anti-Trump stuff. But she and Noam Chomsky, both Jewish, and which is an issue in other realms, because you have a lot of people who are dual citizens. They're citizens of Israel and serving in the U.S. Senate or serving in U.S. government. And that's a conflict of interest. We should definitely look into that. And, you know, Israel's right to exist is a whole matter that I would like to investigate, because that whole country was founded upon the ethnic cleansing of tens of thousands of Palestinians, many of whom were killed, everything taken from them, you know, olive orchards, hundreds of years old, robbed, bulldozed, etc., to make this state back in 1948. The state of Israel is a Jewish Zionist, you know, Rothschild plan. Many countries were pressured not to accept Jewish refugees during World War II because they wanted to create pressure and a population to move to the new state that they wanted to create, and it was. You know, so the Rothschild, you know, the Supreme Court, the building, and the Knesset, which is like their parliament, both of them are like paid for and dedicated to one of the Rothschild, some of the Rothschild family members, which is a Jewish banking family that you'll learn a lot about in The Money Masters. But Noam Chomsky and Amy Goodman have been on the record saying that, you know, 9/11 happened the way the government says it happened, and don't want to talk about geoengineering. And, you know, Grant, those are two of the biggest issues facing our world right now. The justification for perpetual war, this whole global war on terror, which is a, what a statement that is. What a mouthful, what a brain-deadening phrase. But what that's called, a guy named Webster Tarpley, a pretty intelligent political commentator, PhD, I think, in economics from, I don't know, Princeton, PhD in something. Smart guy. But he wrote a book called 9/11, something like Synthetic Terror, 9/11. But all the linkages and the types, that there's a whole language and a way of looking at the world when you're trying to create different terror cells and, you know, events that either didn't occur, you know, maybe did not occur, but you need them to be, you need it to be believed that they occurred in order to further a political ends. But he, you know, calls it a limited hangout. That is, Amy Goodman and Noam Chomsky, these golden children of the left, are false prophets because they won't go there on the subject of 9/11, and they won't go there on the subject of the global spraying program that is killing all of us and creating, you know, droughts. And it's not just the spraying, it's the use of electromagnetic energy as well. These HARP arrays that are all over the world that can create 1,000-mile diameter, 1,000-mile wide domes, high-pressure domes in the ionosphere that can stop storm tracks, that can divert the Gulf Stream. It can do all sorts of things. In this intensive energy, it can raise the temperature in the ionosphere to 15,000 degrees. It can, I don't know, raise it up hundreds of miles high, higher, like almost punching a hole in the atmosphere. And this is scientists and governments playing God. They have no idea what the fuck they're doing, except that they can, you know, cause havoc on, you know, cause and create weather warfare. And, you know, which includes, they have certain resonances that they can achieve with the HARP signal that can cause shifts in the tectonic plates deep down, like a crystal, you know, when you have a certain, you have a certain note that you hit when you're singing, certain voices that can cause this crystal to shatter, you know. Just similarly, there's, you know, I guess it would have to be an area that is prone to earthquake, but you can certainly help cause one. And there have been some major earthquakes like Haiti and one in China where just preceding the earthquake was like an aurora borealis type of effect, which is a HARP signature in areas that you never see an aurora, but there was a disturbance in the ionosphere. These arrays of radio frequency antennas, like 100 of them, very powerful, all sending a signal together. It's called ionosphere heaters. And this HARP stands for like high atmosphere, auroral, I don't know what it, I don't have it, you know, research. It's all for messing with the ionosphere. And you can create, and so you can do stuff with it that you shouldn't be. That we have signed agreements, international treaties, to not use weather as warfare. And of course, you know, that was signed in the 70s and it's never been respected. You know, it's a whole hypocrisy. And that's actually the very great danger of our scientific mentality, that we will do whatever we can because we can. We're not going to not do something because, you know, it might hurt someone. We're going to do it because it's a display of prowess. It's a display of our power. It's going to allow us to put fear into people's hearts, to cause drought in another country and weaken them, foment division, whatever it is they're doing, make people depressed somewhere. Who knows? Maybe fry us to death if they want to. So there's just a few outlets, you know, Breitbart, Drudge, thedrudgereport.com, Breitbart, I think, .com. There's other outlets that are, WorldNet Daily, that are telling the truth about Hillary Clinton and, you know, maybe not in love with Donald Trump, but showing that he is actually a real person who, you know, though, you know, he's a billionaire, and in order to be a billionaire, you have to cut some unsavory deals along the way, but he is a strong person who's achieved success in a very competitive world. And And so they're behind him. But when I go from Amy Goodman to a State Department spokesman to Obama to George Soros to one of the Rothschilds to the European leadership to the Chinese leadership to the Mexican government leadership to these, you know, the Wall Street Journal board to their head of the Republican National Committee to all these different people. And they're all saying, you know, we're going to be, you know, the only real vote is the one for Hillary Clinton. That just shows you that they're all bought off. That's what I believe it shows you. They've all been paid off or threatened, you know, to get on the bandwagon, to support the bandwagon for globalism. And Trump is not someone who has sold out. He is someone that they don't own. He has not taken big money from these entities, because he can fund himself and he's relied upon small donors like me. Whereas, you know, Hillary Clinton has been shown to have, you know, have profited handsomely through insider dealings as a result of her so-called public service. Just used her power to self-aggrandize and to do the bidding of people that don't represent my interests as an American. So I'm endorsing him because, you know, there's a saying, if you're not getting hit with flack, then you're not over the target. Or if you're getting hit with a lot of flack, that is, if you're getting a lot of negative press, a lot of editorials against you, if all the people that are the responsible for the very sorry state of affairs in the world, if they're all aligned against you, then you must be doing many things right. And there's another saying, I think from Afghanistan, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And there might be, you know, there is sort of a brashness and an arrogance to Trump that I find, maybe it's not terribly statesman-like, or it's not someone who I, you know, I don't really, but I haven't really listened to him enough, but I'm just saying, if there is some of that that some people don't like, I'm willing to live with it, because he's doing enough things right. And like I said, the path we're on is a path towards doom. You know, it's five minutes to midnight, as they say. And we need to try someone new. And I do view Hillary Clinton as an extension of, you know, a dozen or more years, 20 years of failed neoconservative leadership that has caused devastation worldwide. You know, the expansion of genetically modified foods, the destruction of Iraqi antiquities, the destruction of basically secular Muslim leadership in Libya, Egypt, and Iraq are all upturned, and now they're just hotbeds for people who just are being brainwashed to hate the West, because we're funding all this. We're funding a lot of this. But what I mean is, all this has happened under the watch of people that I just don't want anything more to do with. And my vote for Trump is a vote against the system as we have it. I hope he lives long enough to see his day in office. And if the voting results can be trusted, which is a whole other subject, where we have paperless voting in most areas, the whole thing is just an open door for voter fraud, hijacking voting results. You know, the best way is a paper ballot that is counted manually. I'm sorry. And why we can't do that, you know, instead going with, you know, these touch screens that can be hacked and, you know, messed with. I don't know. Well, I do know why. You know, the Diebold machines are there for a reason. They're there so that a portion of the votes can be flipped or counted in a certain way or undercounted or whatever it is to serve interests other than those that are voting. You know, it's not the electorate that these machines serve, it's the machines' makers and their corporate owners. And if you can't see that there's some good in Donald Trump and what he's doing, or the monolithic, extraordinary unity among all the media that Donald Trump is like, you know, the antithesis of leadership and, you know, a recipe for destruction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you need to read up and listen to, you know, Alex Jones' radio show at Infowars.com, his nightly news. You need to listen to some of the commentaries, again, by Paul Joseph Watson, USA Watchdog. There's a guy there that does some good stuff at YouTube. And Catherine Austin, I don't know about her, but Catherine Austin Fitz and Paul Craig Roberts. A bunch of others as well. Listen to them and read some good articles there and at ZeroHedge.com. And you will see some of the glaring, you'll see that you've been lied to about a number of things, and that should cause you to question the overall agenda. You know, what is the intent of a media that is lying to you or withholding critical information from you? There is an agenda. You are being sold a bill of goods. You're being conditioned to accept your own demise, your own ignorance. So just please be open to another point of view. Over now.